Back in the 1960s, when Interstate 40 was being built through the city of Memphis, the original plan was for it to go right through the middle of Overton Park. Overton Park is a couple of hundred unspoiled acres in midtown Memphis, and some people wanted to keep it that way, so these environmentalists took the issue all the way to the Supreme Court and stopped the interstate from going that route. The right-of-way up to the park on both sides was already acquired and cleared and prepared in anticipation that the highway department would win the lawsuit. But the Supreme Court decided in favor of the environmentalist, and the interstate had to be rerouted around the north side of the city. The result was that for the next 40 years, people who drove around Memphis on the interstate saw these places where there were entrance and exit ramps that didn't go anywhere, and places that were prepared for a road, but there was no road. Remnants of a project that was never finished. There is a museum in Memphis called the Pink Palace that was acquired from Clarence Saunders, the founder of the Piggly Wiggly grocery stores. In the early 1920s, he began to build this huge, beautiful mansion that was going to be his dream home, but he went bankrupt and never finished it. Men start projects all the time and never finish them for all kinds of reasons. And that is one thing that makes Philippians chapter 1, verse 6 so encouraging, because it speaks of God finishing the work of salvation once He starts it. It says, "And I am sure of this, that He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion in the day of Jesus Christ." What work is Paul referring to in Philippians 1:6? Well, it is a good work that will not be complete until the day of Christ Jesus. The verse prior to this talks about a partnership in the gospel. And the verse after this talks about sharing in the grace of God. The Philippian believers were partakers with Paul in the grace of God and in the gospel. In the next chapter, verse 12 and 13, it says, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to work for His good pleasure." It is pretty clear that Paul is talking about the work of salvation when he says that he is confident that God will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. This is a truth that is taught in other places in the Bible, such as Romans 8, 29 and 30. And we have a doctrine called the perseverance of the saints as a result of many such passages. Does anybody know what the doctrine of the perseverance of the saints is? Well, turn to page 858 in the back of your Trinity hymnal. Chapter 17 of the Westminster Confession of Faith is entitled, "Of the Perseverance of the Saints." Roman numeral 1 says, "They whom God hath accepted in His Beloved, effectually called and sanctified by His Spirit, can neither totally nor finally fall away from the state of grace, but shall certainly persevere therein to the end and be eternally saved." That's the perseverance of the saints. It probably could be called the preservation of the saints, because it is God who perseveres and enables believers to persevere to the end because of His preservation of them. I'm on solid ground here. in declaring that God will not leave a work of salvation in a Christian's life unfinished. So, what if God finishes the work of salvation in us? What does that mean to you and to me? Well, first of all, since God finishes the work of salvation in us, then you can have assurance. Your salvation is secure. Paul wrote, "I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ." Where does this confidence come from? This confidence comes from the fact that salvation is a work of God. It is a work that He starts and He will complete it. It is a work of God from the beginning all the way through to the end, to the completion of it. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10 says, "For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." C.S. Lewis understood that salvation is a work of God. In his autobiography, he described his conversion like this: "In the Trinity term of 1929, I gave in and admitted that God was God and knelt and prayed. Perhaps that night the most dejected and reluctant convert in all England. I did not then see what is now the most shining and obvious thing, the divine humility which will accept a convert even on such terms. The prodigal son at least walked home on his own feet. But who can dearly adore that love which will open the high gates to a prodigal who is brought in kicking, struggling, resentful, and darting his eyes in every direction for a chance of escape?" C.S. Lewis said that he was saved, brought into the kingdom, kicking and struggling, resentful, and darting his eyes in every direction for a chance of escape. A young atheistic student who had heard of C.S. Lewis began corresponding with him. As this student unburdened himself of his doubts and questionings to the famous scholar, Lewis responded very simply, "I think you are already in the meshes of the net. The Holy Spirit is after you. I doubt if you'll get away." Not long afterward, this atheistic student pursued God, pursued by God for so long, finally surrendered. He had found, as C.S. Lewis himself had found, that salvation is of God. He ran, but God successfully pursued him. That's the way it is with all of us. None of us really seeks after God. We resist Him, and He beats down our resistance until we finally yield to Him like vanquished enemies. And if in the struggle there was ever a moment in which we seemed to seek Him, it was only because He was there beforehand, moving us to do it. Salvation is of the Lord, and because it is a work of God, you can have assurance. Because God finishes the work He starts in us. And why wouldn't He finish the work? Men don't finish projects because they run out of resources. But God will not run out of resources because all of the resources in the world belong to Him. Men abandon projects because they turn out to be ill-devised plans. God is too wise to start a plan that was a bad idea to begin with. He is too powerful for anything to be too difficult for Him. And He will not die before He finishes His work because He is eternal. So you can be sure that God finishes what He starts. And if He has started the work of salvation in you, then He certainly will finish it. The important question is, has God started a good work in you? That leads me to my second point. And my second point is, if God finishes the work of salvation in us, then there will be evidence that God has started a work in you if you have been saved. Our verse says, I am sure of this, that He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. He who began a good work in you is God. The good work He began in you is salvation. Now, there are three distinct phases in this work of salvation. There is the start of it at the beginning, He who began, and the completion of it at the end, completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Then, in between the start and the completion, there is the bringing it to completion. Do you see those three phases in that verse in Philippians 1:6? He began. He will bring. He will bring it to completion. Sometimes we break salvation down into three parts so that we can understand it better. The three parts are justification, sanctification, and glorification. In Philippians 1:6, began is justification. Will bring is sanctification. And completion is glorification. Justification is an act of God's free grace wherein He pardons all our sins and accepts us as righteous in His sight on the basis of the righteousness of Christ imputed to us and received by faith alone. Sanctification is the work of God's free grace whereby we are renewed in the whole man after the image of God and are enabled more and more to die unto sin and to live unto righteousness. Glorification is the final act of salvation where believers are raised up in glory, openly acknowledged and acquitted in the day of judgment, and made perfectly blessed in the full enjoyment of God to all eternity. If we look at justification as the initial work of salvation, and sanctification as the continuing work of salvation, and glorification as the final act of salvation, what does our text today have to say about a Christian who continues to live in sin unchanged? It is impossible. It is impossible for a genuine Christian to continue to go on living in sin unchanged. Why is it impossible? It is impossible because God finishes the work He starts. He starts the work of salvation with justification. He continues the work of salvation with sanctification. He completes the work of salvation with glorification. Sanctification necessarily follows justification because God finishes what He starts. After the initial work of justification, God begins a work of sanctification in those He saves, in which He molds them into conformity to the image of His Son, Jesus Christ. God is like a divine sculptor chipping away our imperfections. And the evidence of His work will be seen in our changed lives. Once a person has been saved, that person cannot go on living the way he did before he was saved, because that person is a new creature in Christ. Old things are passed away, and all things are become new. Sanctification has to do with our living holy lives. So there must be some evidence of holiness in our lives. If we are truly saved, there must be some evidence that God has begun a good work in us and that He is at work in us. But sanctification is a process. And that leads me to my third point. If God finishes what He starts, then you will not be perfect until He finishes with you. Christians are unfinished works of God. And we will remain unfinished until the text says the day of Jesus Christ. I am sure of this, that He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. The day of Jesus Christ is an eschatological term. It has to do with the final judgment and the end of the age. And that is when God will finish His work in us as Christians. We will not be perfect until then. There is a heretical teaching that sometimes surfaces that says a Christian can achieve sinless perfection in this life. If you have believed that, it will make you constantly defeated and depressed. You may even wonder if you really are saved. Sinless perfection is an impossibility in this life. People who teach sinless perfection are deceiving themselves and others. All Christians struggle with sin. No one achieves moral perfection in this life. Even the great Apostle Paul struggled with an old sin nature. He wrote in Romans chapter 7, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold under sin. For I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate." So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, I myself serve the law of God with my mind, but with my flesh I serve the law of sin. God could easily make us perfect instantaneously if He wanted to, and He will one day. But while we are here living our lives out in this age, He has chosen to change us gradually over time. You are a work in progress. You will never be perfect in this lifetime. You will not be perfect until God makes you perfect on the day of Jesus Christ. That leads me to my final point. And my final point is, if God finishes what He starts, then you will be perfect when He finishes with you. Earlier when I spoke of justification, sanctification, and glorification, I said that sanctification necessarily follows justification because God finishes what He starts. Now I want to say that glorification necessarily follows justification and sanctification because God finishes what He starts. Paul talks about the finish that we are waiting for in Romans chapter 8. "For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of Him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies." The possibility of transformation is enthralling. The whole creation waits in eager expectation for the glory of the sons of God to be revealed. when God finishes His work in us, we are not only going to be morally perfect, perfect in righteousness and holiness, He is also going to make our bodies perfect. We will be glorified. We will have glorified bodies. Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 15, 51 through 54, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. For this perishable body must put on the imperishable, and this mortal body must put on immortality. When the perishable puts on the imperishable, and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." These bodies of ours will be transformed and made perfect for heaven. They will no longer be subject to disease, deformity, or death. The truth of our coming glorification enabled Paul to deal with the sufferings that he endured in this life. He said, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed in us." Our best days are yet to come. Our best days are yet to come because God finishes what He starts. Amen. Let's pray.